Well, when we did the study, we obviously focused on doing it just because we knew that with the deficit and shrinking budget, that improper payments was going to be increasingly important. And what I don't think that the recommendations are all that new. So if you look at some of the findings that have been done in the research, these recommendations have been out for a while. But what we did do is underscore that we think agencies need to, first and foremost, establish quantifiable targets for reducing the payments. So, for example, the Food and Nutrition Program sets a target that they're going to work towards, and they hold accountable states accountable for collecting those monies. The biggest thing that could help tremendously is just sharing information amongst the agencies. So it's not a new thing, but people know that 50% of the payments that are improper are because of it's very difficult to make sure that somebody is eligible to receive the money. So by sharing information around income, being able to validate who the beneficiary is and whether their income is correct and that they deserve that payment, can put a strong dent in the challenge. So we really underscore that we want agencies to work together, share information, and definitely verify up front before letting the improper payment go out the door.
So it sounds almost like there's needs to be a measure of success baked into this whole process, that if you have these recommendations, which you yourself say they're not really new, but you got to be able to show that they're accomplishing something by implementing these recommendations.
Yeah, there's two things. One is there's a measure of success saying, you know, being able to actually put a percentage out there to say, you know, we're going to meet 5% improper payments and we're going to lower that each year and work towards that. Because if you don't have something that you're measuring, it's hard to work towards it. The second thing is that at any turn, always finding a way to do verification of a beneficiary before you give them the money, but not have it be so slow that you hold up giving benefits to the needy. As you can imagine, people really wouldn't want to hear that.
Now, is Social Security data and IRS data generally available to those other agencies that may have food stamps or whatever the program might be?
It's not generally available. It could be made available, but of course, with privacy-related challenges, it's not. IRS can't necessarily just make their information available. The government would have to work together to make sure that they could share that information, and there would have to be some changes to the process so that the beneficiary was comfortable with having, the agency that they're applying to verify their income through that third party. You can imagine you just can't share all that information broadly.
We're talking with Ashley Skirm, the vice president of Booz Allen Hamilton and a member of the Association of Government Accountants Corporate Partner Advisory Group. Let's talk a bit about how this all plays into the current environment, particularly with budget cutting. On the one hand, you would think, oh, what a way to save some money during these tight fiscal times. And on the other hand, you might think, how can you keep track of all of this when you have all this other stuff on your plate, too? Where does it fall into the grand scheme of things?
Well, I think that's a good question, and particularly when people look at the size of the improper payments, they wonder why we can't fix it. But I think there's what it's easy on the outside to look at that, but there is a tension that exists between getting the monies out to people who need it. So you can't just put a hold on, you know, providing Medicare or Medicaid payments to those who need it, or even the National School Lunch Program, which was one of the higher improper payment rates. As you can imagine, you can't stop and hold those programs while you're sorting out your improper payments challenge. So there is a cultural bias towards getting those payments out. So in the grand scheme of things, that tension is always going to exist. But we've got to identify ways to make improvements. And again, I would say it has to be upfront in verifying whether somebody's eligible, because it's really hard to go back and take back a school lunch program or take back a retirement benefit that was paid out.
Now, you also say in the report that it's unrealistic to try to get to zero improper payments, mainly because as you get to the lower last few dollars, the cost to getting them goes up and may exceed what it is that you save. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I think if you look at all the different programs and the number of payments are made, and some of these programs, you know, FNS back in the 80s had 2,800 staff to process $30 billion for 15 programs. Today, they probably have 1,300 or half that to do $110 billion. So we're expecting the government to do and process a lot more with less staff. So it's going to be hard to kind of tackle those challenges. And also, when you start getting down to improper payment rates that are below 4 or 3%, your operation is pretty significant. And then we would say take more of a risk-based approach and make sure where there's any kind of high dollar or kind of quick things that you do it based on only establishing a risk area versus trying to fix the whole problem.